come to church for a lot of different reasons. Some of you have come this morning because you're looking for comfort. You need the familiar songs, the fellowship of believers. The truth is, for some of us, church has become the most comforting thing in your life. In the midst of a world in which everything seems to be different from time to time, and you have to be careful wherever you go and whatever you do, you get to come to church. And you get to be with people you love. And you get to worship the Lord. And it just makes everything feel right. And I'm glad you got to be here for that. Some of you are here looking for answers. Thanksgiving Sunday, and we're exploring the empty tomb. What's that all about? There has to be a reason. And if there is, what does the resurrection have to do with your personal life this morning? And why does it give you a reason to be thankful? You just want to know. Some are here and you're looking for hope. It's not just the short days that are bringing darkness into your life. Things have happened to you personally that just make life seem dark. Things are going on in your world and they're just discouraging. This thing has stretched out so long, you wonder, when will it ever come to a conclusion? You're having trouble finding the light that Nathan talked about a moment ago. It seems as though discouragement surrounds you wherever you turn, and you need fresh hope from the Lord this day. And it may be you're here today because you really need a word of assurance from the risen Lord. If the gospel really is good news, you think, I sure could use some of that. Your faith is being challenged. You need a word from the living Christ. You need a reason to remember this is the day we celebrate Thanksgiving. Whatever your purpose for being here today, you can find yourself among the people who came to the tomb on the third day after the death of Jesus. The first day of the week when Mary Magdalene and the others made their way back to the garden where they'd left the body of the crucified Jesus. Now they had returned to prepare his body for its eternal rest. And instead they found a stone rolled away and an angel with a message that changed their lives forever. And that same message changes lives today. That's why we have spent this last year looking together at the life of Jesus. It's why we've looked at the people he met and the things he said and the people he prayed for and the ways that he performed miracles and the lives that he transformed. Because we believe that that message of a risen Christ changes lives. Yesterday and today and until he comes again. And because that is true, we can live with confidence in the midst of an uncertain world. Because that is true, we know whatever may come to discourage us, we have a greater hope. Because of it, we need to hear the message that came from the angel, because it's a message right to you on this day, in this place, at this time, as you hear from the risen Lord who loves you, gave himself for you, and offers you everlasting life. So let me bring a message to you directly from the tomb Jesus used to be in. Okay? The first message is simply this: do not be afraid. The lady saw the angel. They came up where there'd been an earthquake, where the stone had rolled back, where people were scared to death, and the first thing they hear is, don't be afraid. What a ridiculous statement. Don't be afraid. The followers of Jesus had all kinds of reasons to be afraid that day. The Lord had been killed just a couple of days before. Everyone who knew him had run away and were in hiding. Everything they had hoped for seemed to have been in vain. Hope died when Jesus was crucified. Fear seemed to be the most reasonable response. And it may seem to be that way to you this morning as well. What do you mean, don't be afraid? There's plenty of reasons for fear all around us today. We live in a frightening time and place. There's the uncertainty of disease, the prevalence of immorality, the threat of unrest. Sometimes you wonder, what kind of world are our children going to grow up in? And there may be frightening things going on in your personal life as well. You've come today and you're in the midst of struggling relationships, broken dreams, unexpected problems, insurmountable challenges. You're here today hoping for a word from the Lord. And frightening things may be going on inside of you. You can't understand yourself. How could I make such bad decisions? How could I have allowed myself to follow that sinful path? How could I have chosen the directions I've gone with my life? They haunt you, these mistakes that you've made, these choices that you have chosen. Sometimes you feel as though everything is out of control and there's nothing you can do about it. Why not be afraid? Well, God gives us that answer in His Word. He says, never forget that in the midst of it all, the voice of God is speaking loud and clear. And what is He saying? I am in control. Do not be afraid. I care for you. In the midst of a world in which there are all kinds of reasons to be afraid, all kinds of things could generate fear in your life and all kinds of uncertainties that you see surrounding you, there's a reason not to be afraid. You know what it is? Right here, in the palms of His hand. Your life is in the palm of His hand. You may not know what's going on. He does. You may feel like things are out of control. He's not concerned in the least. You may be afraid of circumstances going on around you, but He is saying, I am greater than any circumstance you will face. Do not be afraid. And like the angel so long ago, I say to you on this Thanksgiving Sunday, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Am I saying be irresponsible? No. Am I saying don't be cautious anymore? No. Am I saying go out and dare God to let something happen to you? No. But what I am saying is this, don't be afraid. God is near. And Jesus is the risen Lord. So the first message came and it simply said, don't be afraid. But he was not finished. He had other things he wanted to say. And the first thing he said is this, and don't look for a crucified Christ. He said, you seek Jesus who was crucified. The angel hit the nail on the head. All the followers of Jesus expected to find when they arrived at the tomb was the body of Jesus. Why did you come this morning? You came looking for a body. You came looking for a crucified Lord. You came ready to prepare His body for its rest. You came because you thought He was dead. They didn't come in faith. They came in grief. At the crucifixion, they believed they had witnessed the death of everything they believed in. For 3 years, the disciples had followed Jesus. Many others had come alongside of them through the time. They believed everything Jesus was saying. They trusted everything Jesus said He was. But they also believed this, and the time is coming, and maybe it's going to be this year in Jerusalem when He's going to establish His kingdom. And we're going to get to be part of it. And we're going to reign with Him forever. But He died. And everything was over. They had no idea how they were going to go on now that the Lord was dead. And you won't know where to turn either if you look for hope in a graveyard. They had forgotten all that Jesus had told them about what was going to happen. That it was necessary for the Savior to go to the cross. That with his death, the power of sin would be destroyed. That on the cross, forgiveness would be secured for everyone who would believe. But it all led to the cross. The last thing they needed to find at the tomb was a crucified Savior. If they had made their way into the tomb and there he was, the body just the way they'd left it behind, then nothing he had said and nothing he had done would make any difference whatsoever, because in the end, death always wins the day. On the third day, God on a cross can't help you. If Jesus were still there, God had failed. There was no hope. There was no help. Death had claimed its own. If his body was still in the tomb, then the hopelessness of the grave is still waiting for all of us. Here's the thing you can never say, and that you will often hear people say about Jesus of Nazareth. They will say, he was a very wise man. He was a very godly man. They may even say he was the greatest man who ever lived. He changed the world with his teachings and his actions. But when he died, he died. That's what people will tell you. And this is what I will tell you. And if when he died, then nothing else he did makes any difference at all. They're just the words of a man who was killed on a cross. And if all you know about Jesus is that he was a lonely figure hanging on a cross, then you need the same good news that the angel brought to the people at the tomb that day. This is what he said. He said, he is not here. The tomb is empty. The cross is broken. You can look as long as you want to, but you'll not find the body of the crucified one. After church this morning, some of us are going to be gathered around in here. We're going to be talking together with Phil Barfoot, who's visiting with us this morning, about making a trip to the Holy Land. And let me tell you, one of the things that's going to be a life-changing experience for you will be a visit to the Garden Tomb. You'll see that place, that garden where he was. You'll see the tomb where he was laid. But you know what you won't see? You won't see his grave, because it's not there. You can see where he was placed, but you can't see where he stayed. Some people would prefer a crucified and buried Jesus. They like thinking of him as a historical figure. They want to remember him as a great teacher. But they choose to believe Jesus died and remained in the grave. In other words, what they're really trying to do is to make him irrelevant. If Jesus died and he just died, then he is irrelevant to history. His life means neither more than less than any other historical figure you can read about in a book. A noble person who died a long time ago, but whose life has nothing to do with today. But it is my privilege to declare to you this morning, if you're looking for a tragic body on a lonely cross, you can't find him. He is not here. The angel carried on. He didn't just say he's not here. Then that incredible statement, he is risen. The empty tomb is ground zero for the gospel. This is where it all starts. The moment they heard that proclamation, he is risen. The moment they looked into that grave, he is risen. The moment they recognized everything God promised is true, he is risen. That's where the gospel begins. It's where God kept his promise to save. Hundreds of years of prophecy fulfilled in an instant. Christ carried all of our fear, all of our failure, all of our wickedness, all of our brokenness to the grave, and he left them there. This is the gospel of the empty tomb. Jesus destroyed death. Jesus opened the doors to heaven. Jesus lives again. And because he rose, he offers you what nobody and nothing else in this world can offer. Forgiveness and peace with God. Hope for today and eternal life tomorrow. No wonder we celebrate the risen Christ. And you can celebrate it on Easter Sunday, and you can celebrate it at Thanksgiving, and you can celebrate it any time in between. Because we are the children of the risen Lord. To declare he is risen is to bear witness to the fact that everything was transformed when Jesus rose from the dead. We read about the earthquake a moment ago. We heard about how the stone rolled away. What we haven't recognized yet is, and everything for all of eternity is absolutely different from that moment forward. Nothing ever goes back to the way it used to be. Because Jesus is risen from the dead. People today need to hear the angel's invitation. What did he say? He said, come and see. I've told you the truth. Come and see for yourself. Experience the risen Christ for yourself. The resurrection cannot be experienced at arm's length. You cannot say, oh yeah, I heard about that. I read about that. You can't even say, I believe that is true. You've got to experience it for yourself. In your own life. You have to encounter Christ in your heart as he speaks to you through his Holy Spirit. And he begins to say, not only I am alive, but he says, I died and I rose and I did it for you. And you. And you, and each of us. You have to know it's real, that it happened just the way the Bible describes it. But it also has to be real in your own life. You make your own choice. I will trust the living Christ. Here's the thing that's interesting. So the angel invited them to experience the empty tomb. Come and see for yourself. But you know what the angel never did? And the angel never got behind them and shoved them into the tomb. He never took force and compelled them to see what they were invited to see. Instead, he said, you come. You decide for yourself. See and believe. That's my privilege today, to simply say to you, come see. Come believe. The risen Christ invites you to know him personally and experience eternal life. If there's anything in the world that's true of the gospel of the risen Savior, it is simply this. There's always room for one more at the feet of Jesus. There's always room for one more. But we make the decision. Today I stand before you and offer an invitation. Come. Come to the risen Savior. You've been hearing about him for a year. You've been thinking about his invitation week after week. But you need to make your decision. Come and see. And maybe you're here and you're not a believer. Oh, you've been around him, but you've always held him out. But today's the day you say, into my life, Lord Jesus. Maybe you need to trust him. Or maybe you're here as a believer and you're recognizing, but God wants you to worship him in this place. This is where he's calling you. And that's what you need to do. Maybe there's another decision. In a moment, we're going to stand, we're singing an invitation. If the Lord is speaking to you, all I ask you to do is just slip up your hand. It's me. It's me. And after the service, either myself or one of our staff members, we're going to find you. We're going to help you come to know Jesus. We're going to help you learn how to follow him. We're going to bring you into the fellowship of the church. Maybe he's dealing with you this morning in a very personal way because you're recognizing, you know, I came to church today with all kinds of anxieties and all kinds of fears and all kinds of doubts, but the truth is, I just need to trust him. He's going to take care of me. Pray for me as I learn how to trust him with everything I am. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, "As God Speaks, You Come." Let's stand. Suited up too, Annalene. I had what I consider the greatest privilege that I get to have as pastor this past week as I sat down with Annalene and her mom and dad and talked to her about trusting Jesus and what it means to follow him. But here's what was so great about it, and this is why it's such a great privilege. All I got to do was be the period at the end of the sentence, wasn't it, Annalene? Annalene and her mom and dad had already talked about following Jesus. She had already prayed and invited him into her heart. And all I got to do was be with them and talk about it and kind of be the amen after what the Lord had done in her life. And today she comes to tell you she is a follower of Jesus, that she has invited him into her heart. And she's going to be following him in baptism. This is exciting, isn't it? Annalene, I'm excited about what the Lord has done in your life. And I'm going to invite you, Mom and Dad, to come up here and be with you. It is so good to get to be pastor of a great Christian family. And this is one of them. And Annalene made me promise the other day that I wouldn't make her say a word, didn't I? And I've kept my promise, didn't I? So we're excited about the decision she's made, Jennifer and David. These eternal decisions are so, so, so important. And we're just so grateful that we get to watch Annalene grow in Christ in the years to come. And you're going to want to let her know how excited you are about what the Lord Jesus has done in her life. So, Mom and Dad, I'm going to ask you to walk with her out. And they'll be right outside the front door. And you come by and let her know that you are so glad that Jesus is her Savior and lives in her heart. So y'all go ahead and go out there and get ready. Isn't this exciting? God changes lives for eternity. Let's stand together and we'll have our final prayer. And then after we've sung one last song, we would be dismissed. You can go by and tell Anna Lane how proud you are of what Jesus has done in her life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are followers of a risen Jesus. That, Father, we don't remember somebody who lived once long ago. We recognize one who lives in our heart, and especially we celebrate the fact that you live in Anna Lane's heart today. And that, Lord, her life has been eternally transformed. And we're so grateful for that. Grateful for her Christian family. Thankful that she was ready to say yes when you called her name. And we ask you to bless her and bless us all as we live and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Those of you staying for our Holy Land trip information, you can just stay right here in the sanctuary where we'll continue with that program.